and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about The Fear of Man, Part 2. Specifically looking at the Book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel himself.
Welcome back. Thanks again for joining us this week on New Every Day. Maybe you're catching us on our website, neweveryday.tv, or on the YouTube, or maybe on Stitcher. So we just welcome you. Thanks for tuning in, and we're so glad to be doing this. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about how after we do the show, I just feel encouraged, mm-hmm. you know, when we're doing it, because it's good to hear yourself talk about God.
Yes.
Just as an aside, before we talk about Daniel, I was listening to a sermon this week about sharing Christ and how we need to look in the mirror and actually share Christ with ourselves.
That's very interesting.
I know. Like, hear yourself say the gospel because it's for you too. So try it. Maybe say, tune in, check us out on Facebook, and maybe you can like write us a little message if you tried to share the gospel in the mirror. Telling yourself the truths about who you are in Christ and
right.
why we can trust God. Anyways, something cool. Maybe a little challenge. I might try it myself.
Yes.
Anywho, Jen, what are we talking about today?
Well, last week we started talking about the fear of man, and just we shared some personal stories about where we have come under peer pressure and gone in that direction. We also talked about King Saul. Right. And how he actually ended up losing the kingdom because he fell under the pressure of what other people wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. So we had talked and we thought, you know what? There are some really cool stories in scripture, though, like places where God moved in amazing ways when people chose to do what God asked them to do.
They did not be afraid.
And not be afraid. They did not fall under peer pressure. And so the book of Daniel is full of those stories, because the background to Daniel is Israel had been disobedient.
Okay.
So then God actually called King Nebuchadnezzar to come in, clean out Judah and Jerusalem, and basically they would take people captive. Now, specifically, Nebuchadnezzar said, look for, and I just want to say specifically,
Smart
guys. To bring some of the men of Judah, this is Daniel 1:3, bring some of the men of Judah into his palace. He wanted them to be from important families, including the family of the king. He only wanted young Israelite men who had nothing wrong with them. They were to be handsome and educated, capable of learning and understanding, and able to serve in his palace. And then they were to be taught the ways of Babylon. And so four young Jewish men were brought into the palace. Now, you would know them as, well, depending on what generation you grew up with, you might know them as Rakshak and Benny and Daniel. You might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. But their Jewish names were specifically Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel. Now, Daniel's name did change, but whenever the writer refers to Daniel, he never refers to him as the name changed. Mm-hmm. He always refers to him as Daniel. So what's interesting is that in chapter 1, they are confronted, first off, with unclean food.
Okay, so explain unclean food, Jen.
It wasn't kosher.
Oh yeah, they were Jewish. Anyways, it was food coming from the king's table.
Yes, right?
and the king was feeding the wise guys this food that was not appropriate to the diet that God had set up for the Jewish people. Right,
pretty much, or it could have been offered to idols.
Okay,
but both work.
Yeah. So Daniel said, "I'm not eating that. You can go ahead and give me water and vegetables.
Yes.
And test us in this and see how we look after 10 days. Well, after 10 days, him and his friends who chose to not give in to the pressure of food or from the upper echelons of the palace saying you need to eat this because you're going to offend the king, they didn't give in to that and they ate vegetables and water. And after 10 days, they were more healthy looking than and stronger than the other wise guys who were taken.
Yes. And what's interesting about that passage is it said that God made the chief officer want to be kind and merciful to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, because Daniel and the three guys wanted to honor God, as a result, God worked in the heart of the chief officer to show them favor. Because he could have just like been like, psh, whatever, you're eating this. But God moved because the heart of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were to honor God first.
Right.
It did not matter that they were not in their homeland. It did not matter that their family was not around to even support them or to check up on them. Because how often does that happen? Oh, well, since mom is here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll do that instead. Yeah. Right? But they didn't even have family and friends around. They just had each other to actually be spurring them on.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it that way either. They didn't say, well, because Daniel's here, I'm going to do this.
They chose
to honor the Lord by keeping themselves pure, by not eating the unclean food.
Yeah. We did mention a couple of episodes ago about eat what is set before you.
Yes.
So what's the difference there?
New Testament, Old Testament.
Yeah. God says that, you know, we don't have to call anything unclean anymore. We can eat it and just give thanks to him. But in the Old Testament, things were offered to idols. And anyway, they were told they shouldn't eat some things, right?
Yeah, because that was part of their Jewish culture. Like, people called of God, do not eat these things. That was just part of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So being good Jewish boys, and they desperately wanted to follow God, they said, okay, we will not eat those things. Whereas, and that's why what you said, well, you know, eat whatever is set before us, because Peter really struggled with that. Like,
he was Jewish.
Was given a vision, right?
You
know, that blanket coming down from heaven with all of the different types of food in it. And he was hungry. He was waiting for the meal to come. And in the vision, it said, get up, take and eat. And he's like, oh, no. I have never.
I haven't eaten those animals because they're unclean.
Yeah.
And then that's in the book of Acts where he was going to be asked to go to a non-Jewish home and share the gospel with them and maybe share a meal. And he ended up baptizing people.
Yes.
Right. So God's preparing him to say that, you know what, there's no clean and unclean.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has already washed
people's
sin.
Yeah. And so Old Testament, it really, for Jewish people, their culture was so important because really that's all they had left. Their land was gone. The temple was gone. So all they had left actually was the law that was in their heart, right? And that is, you know, in the Old Testament, hide my words in your heart that you would not sin against me.
Well, it was about the law. Before Christ, it was about the law and obeying the law.
Yes.
But everyone fell short. And Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, that he became the ultimate sacrifice for us.
Yes.
Right?
So here are these four guys, and as a result, they were blessed and honored because they chose to put God first, even though they could have died. Like, the chief priest or the chief officer could have been like, too bad for you, out you go, you're done.
Right.
But God moved. God moved. And so that does take us over to the next passage in Daniel 3. So if you're a VeggieTales fan, this would be the bunny, and where there's a giant chocolate bunny and they're called to bow down and worship the bunny.
The bunny song is how all my employees will show just how much they love the bunny. How nothing is more important than the bunny.
But in this story,
yes,
King Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden statue and asked everyone in the land well, told them that when they heard the sound of the musicians playing, they had to bow down to the statue as if it were a god.
Yes.
And anyone who didn't would be thrown into a furnace and they would be killed. So he was exercising his power and authority over the people. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that they could not bow down to any other god but the Lord himself. Mm. So when the musicians started playing, they refused to bow down. Anyways, they got in trouble. They got called into the king. Mm-hmm. He gave them another opportunity. And they said,
dun, 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 dun.
In chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, as if, you know, if you're going to throw us into the furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, mm-hmm. and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Mm-hmm. I think that's significant. That yes. sometimes trials aren't going to get easier. They're going to get hotter.
Literally.
They're going to get hotter. He heated it up so hot that the strong men that he told to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in, they died.
Yeah.
Before they even got to the furnace because it was so hot. But what's amazing, and I'm sure that you know the story, but for those who don't, then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeded, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Anyway, he tells them to open up the furnace, and they come out, and they didn't even smell of smoke.
And it's like, once again, they chose not to bow. It would have been so easy to bow.
Well, okay. So I've had people tell me, people who are Christians say, well, Carrie, we have to be culturally relevant. We have to be, you know, in tune with the culture. And, you know, sometimes that means, you know, going along with some things because we want to be in tune with what's going on so we have opportunity later to witness.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can look like slow compromises. I know I've done that in my own life.
Well, Carrie and I went with a bunch of young adults and we went to watch The Avengers, which is totally a big movie that's in right now. And we're watching it and we're listening to all of these scriptures that I'd be taking out of context. And then one of the characters starts describing who he is. I am this, and I am this, and then he's like, I am. And at that moment, Carrie and I are like, he just called himself God's name, Yahweh, which means I am who I am. And
it was subtle, but it was uncomfortable.
It was very uncomfortable. But what's interesting is the number of Christians that I have said that to have come back to me and said, I didn't even hear it in there. Which actually hurt more, because I'm thinking, what are we slide, like you said, what are we sliding into that we don't even notice these things that are subtle hits against the Lord? And actually, they weren't even that subtle in some of the quotes. And
And I understand what people say, that, okay, to be culturally relevant, you have to be able to relate to other people. And we need to be comfortable with people. Mm-hmm. As we are. And I look at Jesus, like we talked about a couple episodes ago. He hung out with whoever and it was cool.
Yeah.
It was fine. And yet he also you know, when he walked into the temple, he cleared out the money changers and he was,
yes,
like a holy anger towards things that were wrong.
You have turned the house of God, or the house of my Father, into a den of robbers. It should be a place of prayer. And like you said, cleared them out.
Yeah. And yet was so willing to have dinner with someone who was sinful and hurting. Yes. And so we see that character of Christ, and I think that we need to emulate that.
Yeah.
You know, stand up for what is right, but be so willing and loving to be with other people. I'm so thankful for the people in my life who have done that to me.
And we need to be asking the Lord, how culturally relevant do you want me to be? Like, there's a passage in Ephesians which says we're not even to look at the things that evil people do.
It's shameful to mention it.
It's shameful to mention it. And yet, it's challenging. Because what is the balance between being culturally relevant and yet disobeying God and falling into that trap of, oh, it's okay, it's just TV, or it's okay, it's, you know, we're just, it's just a game for one night or whatever.
Yeah. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what these three guys did. They, like, either bow or burn.
Yeah.
Like, those are the options. And they said no to the bowing and yes to the burning. And I love the fact that it said, even if he doesn't save us, we will still serve him. Because they understood that maybe God had a greater purpose. That who were they to decide, God, we're obeying you, so you have to save us. Because there's lots of people in this world that obey God, and yet he doesn't intervene in a way that we would perceive as being saved. And so they are willing to lay it on the line. If you save us,
yay.
If you don't save us,
yay.
And Daniel does the same thing in chapter 6, where, and the only way I can describe it is the other leaders of the land were jealous of Daniel. So they went to King Darius, said, you know, only the song that comes to mind from VeggieTales. We have some news, good King Darius. We feel your position is precarious. There are some people here in Babylon who won't give you your due. We've got some news, good King Darius. We feel your position is precarious. There are some people here in Babylon who won't give you their due. Instead of money. And they're like, so in order that people will, you know, honor you, you should get them to pray just to you. Because they knew the only way that they could come against Daniel
was if it had to do with his God.
So King Darius, I don't know what was going through his mind at the time, said, oh yes, pass the law that only people can, you know, pray to me for the next 30 days.
And if they don't, put them in the lion's den.
Yes. And so when Daniel heard the law, what did he do? He went upstairs to his room. He opened the window and he prayed.
But I liked what it said about that because, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. This is verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And what's cool about that, I like that it says, as was his custom since early days, he had already been doing that. He had already been meeting with God in the secret place and getting to know God and his faithfulness, that he's going to take care of him before the trial came.
And then what does your verse 11 say?
Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God.
Yeah. So he was asking God for help. It wasn't like, oh, I can't pray. It was like, oh, I'm going to pray and ask God for help. And because he had seen it, right? He had seen it. He had watched how he had intervened with the chief officer and their food. He was probably aware of the idol with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're told that that was on the plains of Dura. Because some people will ask, well, where was Daniel? Well, Daniel was in the palace.
Right.
So he wasn't actually anywhere near
the plains of Dura.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And so here, so he probably heard about it. And so here he has watched God intervene. And here he is again with, okay, food, I'm not gonna eat the food. And his friends didn't bow down. And here he was, he's like, I'm not gonna stop having a relationship with Jesus because it's gonna cost me something.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading some stories in Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a good book to check out if you want to be inspired and challenged. Mm-hmm. Another good one is The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom.
Boom.
It looks like boom. Amazing story of people who knew something was happening in the culture that was wrong, and they stood up for what God said was right.
And so these men come in, catch Daniel praying, and they throw him in the lion's den. And King Darius is totally upset. They're like, ha, Daniel, right? And it says that he did not receive any entertainment that night and went early the next morning and called out to Daniel and said, in verse 19, the next morning, King Darius got up at dawn and hurried to the lion's den. As he came near the den, he was worried. Mm-hmm. He called out to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God that you always worship been able to save you from the lions? And Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels to close the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me because my God knows I am innocent. I never did anything wrong to you, O king. And it's like Daniel did not rise up to fight his battle. He called on God. And that verse 11, he made supplications to the Lord. He asked God for help and chose to believe that God would help him mm-hmm. in however he chose to finish his story. And so in this case, he's like, God knew I was innocent, so he sent an angel to close the mouths of the lion. And it's like, instead of coming under that pressure to, you know, oh, I'm sure I can stop praying for 30 days.
Exactly.
Like, God's going to be there. He's going to understand.
He knows that I care about him.
Yes. But is that because of a fear of man? I'm afraid of what they're going to say. I'm afraid of what is going to happen to me if I choose to follow God in this way.
Yeah.
And it is a struggle, especially more and more we're finding in our culture that Christianity is no longer welcome.
No.
And we are going to have to make choices that are not warm and fuzzy, that are actually going to get us on our knees saying, God, I need your help. I want to live for you.
Yeah.
And I was just at a conference, and the teacher was telling a story about a young man who had come from Algiers who had given his heart to the Lord. Now, in Algiers, they are a Muslim-based country, and he knew that if he went home, he would be beheaded. Let me back up a little bit. He knew that when he was baptized, because that is the outward sign that you were a believer. So he had become a Christian after coming here, going to school, became a Christian and was baptized. And he's like, if I go home, then I could be killed for this. And so he actually felt called to go home. And the friends here said, no, don't go, don't go, don't go. And he's like, no, like, I feel like God is calling me back there. And I'm sure he felt, you know, God saying, go and tell your people about who I am. And it turns out, like, they had heard back within about 2 years that he had actually been killed.
Whoa.
But that was a choice that he made. Like, God is not calling us to make the easy choice. And not every choice is like that.
No. No.
But it is in the slippery slope choices, though. Well, I'll just do this little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'll just share a really quick story. And when you look at the cross, God is worth us living for him. And he's more than able to equip us to do it. Yeah. When I was in high school, a friend gave me a gift. And it came with a story. And the story was about a young woman who was feeling discouraged and tired of choosing the right path and tired of whatever, always being making the good mm-hmm. choice and the wise choice. And this friend went over to another friend's house. And while she was in her house, the host said, if you came over to my house and I offered you a drink of water And I offered it to you in this plastic cup that was all dirty and wrecked and used. Or I offered it to you in this china teacup. Which would you prefer? And the friend said, well, if all you had was the dirty plastic cup, I would accept it. But I would much prefer the china cup. And in this story, it said, you know, Carrie, we need to choose to be like the china cup, set apart for Christ. The Bible says, touch no unclean thing and I'll accept you. God does love and accept us because of what Christ has done. And then we need to choose to live our life as that china cup, like set apart for him.
Yes.
Because he's worth it. He's awesome. He's paid the price. He loves us.
Yeah.
And so it's worth it to, be set apart for him and say yes to the things of God and say no to the things of this world.
Yeah.
And there's so many other cultures where people are being persecuted all over the world. Mm-hmm. If you want to check out persecution.net, that's also a great resource to be encouraged by other Christians and also opportunities to pray for people who are standing up for what's right and not giving into peer pressure. Maybe we can just pray now, Jen, for some of those people and for each other.
All right.
Father, thank you so much for the sacrifice that you gave through Jesus on the cross. And you are worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to live for you. Help us to obey you. Help us to believe you and know your character so that when we're faced with the things of day-to-day life, when we're asked to give in to peer pressure and to do things that don't honor you, help us to say no.
Yes.
I thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that we can ask you to come and live within us, to equip us to live for you. Thank you for that. I pray for our viewers maybe who are experiencing persecution right now, that they would be encouraged. Lord, help them to have kingdom glasses on and to realize that this life is temporary because it's seen. But what is unseen is eternal, and we're living for you, God. Thank you. Mm. Thank you for all that you've done. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to say thank you to Eco Alkalines for powering our mics and our
camera?
And I'm just reminded, though, that eventually batteries do die. But because Jesus is supernatural, he lives in us when we invite him into our hearts. And he powers us
day by day.
Day by day.
Yeah.
Amen.
So true.
All right.
Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week on New Every Day.
Cheers.